Hello again. This is Christy Byerly with Awaken Coach Institute talking with Evelyn Wolf, who's just a delightful coach living in Germany. And we were expecting to talk about getting distracted, and we did talk about getting distracted, but then we got distracted with talking about presence and being here and now with each other. And then we had a pretty fun interplay between what was happening in the moment in our conversation with our distractions and our presence and our service to others and our experiences in our own body. So enjoy laughing at us or with us, and take what you like for yourself. Hi, Eve. I'm interested to hear what you're thinking about distractions.
It's amazing how fast we can get distracted. Like, I was just noticing that last week I went to a TED Talk. And as you might, I don't know if you know TED Talks, but it's kind of like a format. They call it like ideas worth spreading. So they give speakers the chance to put their ideas into like a 15 to 30 minute talk. And usually those talks are very dense in information, because those people, like, they try to squeeze their research and their most important messages that they've discovered over their work life into these 15 to 20 minutes. And so remaining aware and remaining present during those talks was, for me, incredibly hard, because there was so much also, like, it required so much of my attention. And then there was this one man, like, it was a Zen monk, and he was sharing basically about how we have a certain amount, like a certain span of attention, but our world is constructed in a way that everything is trying to grab our attention and to keep it longer than we actually would want to do it if we're conscious and present with ourselves. And this doesn't only apply to the advertisements we see with, like, videos and, like, little images and all these kind of things, but also things like food. Like, we're so over-consuming and eating, overeating, because we're, like, getting distracted by the smell and, like, by all the stimuli that are...
Can I tell you something that just happened?
Yeah.
I just got so distracted while you were talking, because for me, my auditory processing is so low. I cannot listen to anyone talk unless I'm, like, typing everything. I sit here and type quietly while people talk, because otherwise I can't pay attention. And you're talking and your voice is so lovely. And then I had, like, five people. We got our ICF level 2 accreditation today. And so I had put out a little announcement in our community. And so I'm getting, like, all these little beeping sounds from the WhatsApp. And so I went over and checked. And, like, as soon as I did, I'm like, oh crap, I have no idea how long you've been talking, because I have, like, congratulations, you got your accreditation level 2. And so I'm like, this is cracking me up that I'm getting distracted with my WhatsApp beeping as you're talking. I'm like, I think you were talking about food. I better pretend like I was paying attention. So hilarious.
But that's exactly what's happening. Like, we have our phones, we have our computers, we have, like, so many stimuli that are trying to get our attention, and our nervous system is just not wired to be dealing with that kind of information, that, like, overload on information. And so we're constantly trying to find the thing that requires our attention, that is the most important priority to put our intention on. But then there are so many things that are conquering or that are competing against one another. And so I'm wondering, like, how do you remain present, or how do you bring yourself back into presence when you notice that you get distracted?
It's so hard. It's interesting because, you know, I think, you know, I lived in Kenya for 11 years. And during the time I was there, I didn't have a smartphone. I had this old Nokia phone that had like literally 9 number buttons on it. And if you wanted to send someone a text, you had to like press the number 8 3 times to get a T to show up. Like it was that kind of phone. And I didn't know what I was missing because I had never had any other kind of phone. And I had never heard of Netflix. I remember I went on Facebook one day and one of my aunts was talking about Netflix, and I asked her what it was, and she thought I was judging her because she was like, well, you know, some of us work all day and it's not a bad thing. And I'm like, no, literally, I have never heard of this thing that I'm sure it's essential. I just don't know what it is. And so I had this life where I was, you know, the sun would come up at 6 in the morning and it would go down at 6 at night every day, all year. And there was this kind of circadian rhythm that was happening. And I would read. I remember one time I went to my friend Carrie's house and she had this 1500 page long book about TheraPlay. And I was so interested in it. And I took it home and I read the entire 1500 page book in a couple of weeks. And that was a pretty normal thing for me to do. Like, not all the books that I read had to be like a mile thick, but I could read one or two books a week. And then since moving to France 7 years ago, I got my first smartphone 7 years ago. And it's wild. Like, I don't know if it's getting old, menopause, COVID, like the phone, what, but I have so much trouble making it through a whole book, which used to be a couple a week would not be unusual. And now I'm like skimming through articles, getting distracted by all kinds of notifications. Like I go to set a timer for cookies for 9 minutes on my phone. Next thing I know, I've like answered 17 messages and the cookies are burnt. And it's like, it feels very different to my brain. And I keep feeling like, okay, if I want to focus, like I don't have any problem focusing while I'm coaching because I put myself in the zone a good 10 minutes before I show up for the person. I shut down every tab, which I would have done well to do just before getting on this podcast with you, because that would be smart. But then the rest of my life, it's like, it is this constant battle to be like, I need to have my phone in a different room. But then there's a lot of pressure to like, you didn't hear the kids, you know, like there will be this one thing that you need to have your phone for because you need to know if your kid is struggling and needs a pickup early from school that day or something. But then there's 25,000 other little distractions coming from this one device. So I feel like for me, it's even hard to do yoga anymore. Like I really have to be careful about shutting everything down because a 20-minute yoga with Adrian gentle stretch, I'm like, it takes me quite a while to even organize my computer in a way that I can just do the yoga without having lots of other thoughts and things coming in. So yeah, somehow with the way we've set up life in Europe and North America, and I'm sure other places in the world, is just difficult to actually have quiet. And even going away for a couple days for quiet, I find it hard. I still feel really agitated a lot of times. Like it takes me quite a while, like into the second day. But one day of silence isn't enough for me anymore because I'm not in silence in myself often enough. It really takes me into the second day before I can feel my body start settling a bit.
Yeah, I can really say from my own experience, I don't think that it has anything to do with age, because I definitely experience the same thing that you're experiencing, this level of
you
like...
young thing?
I mean, maybe people who are younger than me experience it differently. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, from my experience, sometimes it even happens to me that I'm going on an app or like with a certain intention, like I want to do something, I want to write something specific down. And then while I'm entering it, there's something that grabs my attention and I get lost. And then I'm like, wait, why did I even open my phone? Why did I even open that app? And like, I can't even remember because my memory is so vague about what I was about to do. Right. And I think also our attention span that you mentioned, like nowadays, like with reading a full book, like where I think I'm not really sure about that one, about the numbers, but it reduced from several minutes, from like 7-10 minutes to now even like 1 or 2 minutes, which is why you need to be engaging people in the talk, for example, with images, with videos, with something that's moving so that you can get their attention back to listening to you. And I find this really interesting and also slightly frightening in terms of like what this environment does to us being present in the moment and being focused on the tasks that we're doing. And I also experience it like I really don't like social media, but currently I'm trying to be more regularly posting on Instagram because I chose this as my platform to share what I want to be sharing and also to increase my visibility as a coach and somatic therapist. And what I notice about myself is that since I started doing that, even though I'm really conscious and I'm really not somebody that likes to spend a lot of time in there, that I'm thinking about it more during my day, also when I'm not on the app, so that I'm thinking about like, oh, what could I post? What should I post? Is there something that is inspiring? And that I'm learning right now also to not ban it like I used to, because for me, it used to be like all or nothing. Either I'm on there or I'm not at all. And I'm kind of like restricting.
Like an alcohol addiction, like just turn it off. Yeah.
Exactly. And now I'm learning more to find a way to consciously engage with it to some degree that feels good and helpful for me, but then also to really find spaces where I completely ban it from even being an option. Like, for example, when I'm with friends and we're out eating or we're out having a good time, like I really don't want to be thinking at all about taking a picture of what I'm doing, about posting something or how this or that might look like. Like, this is just this time that I dedicate for being really present with whomever I'm spending time with. And I think that's also what you're mentioning about these little retreats of where you go into silence that I also really enjoy, where I'm just saying, like, I'm completely disconnecting from my phone. My phone is somewhere very far away, and I'm noticing how much, like, after a few hours already, my nervous system can relax and can just like sink into whatever is happening in that moment with like whatever is there with me right now. Might be a person, might be something that I'm creating. I'm just noticing that I'm getting more into a flow state and getting more creative. And that's what I also find so valuable about creating these spaces for myself, where I'm actually consciously turning off all those distractions.
Yeah, I had the funniest thing happen yesterday. So speaking of age, I have a 17-year-old. So that's younger than both of us by quite a bit for me. And my 17-year-old is completely off social media. I mean, there's some, you know, Tumblr and stuff with really specific chats with friends, but there's none of this kind of presenting your life out there as a story for other people to admire and observe or anything like that. And so I've got a lot of admiration for my kids because they're just so much more boundaried. I mean, my 17-year-old just like went off Instagram completely, just shut the account because they're like, this is not good for my mental health, so I'm not doing it. But, wow, that's amazing. And at the same time, I try to do that. So I usually keep my phone in another room from me because otherwise I would just be like 5,000 WhatsApps a day. And what else would I do? But my kid wanted some food and wanted me to prepare it, which is another whole story. Like, okay, 17-year-olds probably could be making their own food. But in any case, the kid was one flight of stairs away from me. And came up so frustrated. Mom, you are so hard to reach. Haven't you seen my messages? I'm like, I am literally like one flight of stairs away from you. I am not going to get my phone and be inundated with whoever wants to have a piece of me on WhatsApp because you cannot be bothered to climb up a flight of stairs. So anyway, the kid did come up a flight of stairs and we did make food together. But it was like, you are so hard to reach. I sent you 4 WhatsApp messages and you didn't answer. Like, we are living in the same house. I think there's a solution here. So, I think whatever age we are, this being present with people is a real thing to pay attention to.
Yeah, and I think it's also a thing that we could need to consciously learn and adapt to because we have that technology that is really powerful and it's so useful in so many ways. Like what you mentioned about WhatsApp, like me being able to be connected still to the people that I met while traveling all over the world, or like you living in different countries. It's so valuable to have or to be able to stay connected in that way. And also, like, I used to be so judgmental about Instagram, but I have to say, like, as much as I am challenged with this, what I just mentioned about the attention or like being present in some moments of my life, as much it also allows me to be very present in other circumstances of my life, which is, for example, I'm posting about this elemental awareness, like how, because I believe that every element has a certain quality, like wind being like very fluffy and inspiring and creative, or like water being very like calming and soothing and emotional also, like it can have very different states. But like me posting about these states on Instagram actually allowed me to be a lot more present with what kind of energy I'm in throughout my day. And then that I'm sometimes like, oh, I feel very intense, like as if I have like a lot of fire going on. And then I can also notice, like, is this actually something that I'm enjoying right now? Is this something that I want to use to create something? Or is it actually feeling like it's overwhelming and it's too much and I could use a little bit more of, for example, water, like a little bit more soothing? And what can I do to bring that into my life? So I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to be engaging with these new technologies. I think it just requires so much awareness and consciousness in how I want to use it and how I want to also protect my presence and focus and what spaces I want to bring it into and what spaces are just like, yeah, safe spaces without it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I found myself really laughing at myself a few weeks ago when I had been posting most days on Facebook. And, you know, I do this thing where sometimes I'm sometimes I'm posting about like, hey, we've got a course coming up. It's starting on this date. And these are the kind of people we're looking for. And so that's like kind of my job. And then there's other posts that are just like, I'm a real person. This is what it was like today, you know, without telling anybody else's stories. And I find myself, I went on a walk in the woods near our house and I had left my phone at home while I was walking. And then it was almost like, oh, how do I observe myself without my phone? And I found that I was having this kind of running commentary of my life of like, I'm walking through the woods, almost as if there was some sort of Facebook audience, like, which are the moments here? Like, oh, I saw this rabbit running across the trail. And there's like a piece of me that's watching me being with the rabbit, and noticing like, I don't have the option of having anyone else watch this because my phone is at home. And so it was a really uncomfortable feeling to notice like how much of my life I'm sort of narrating to myself in my own head without even knowing it. So listening to you talk is really lovely because it's like you are aware that you're narrating a bit or that you're observing yourself, but you're using it for your own health, your own enjoyment, your own goodness as you go through your day. Do I need water? Do I need fire? Whereas for me, I think I had a much more negative reaction to myself when I noticed myself doing it. I'm like, wow, am I like turning my life into a walking Facebook post even when there aren't and there's nobody around? I don't even have my phone.
Yeah, what I notice about you sharing and also me sharing is that like as soon as the social media or whatever is used to sense myself more, like be present with what is, like the sensations that are within me more, then I experience it as being helpful. Whereas when I use it for bringing my attention, my focus more outward, like how am I perceived? How do I judge myself? Like what's my narrative around it? What's my expectation of myself? Then it gets like a completely different tone, a completely different I don't have a better word for that, but I think I really find it helpful as a tool to sense myself more, because that's actually what my whole drive for being present is like being more in your body, experiencing your life more fully, because you're able to stay with the emotions, the sensations that come up. And this is allowing me to be present in the moment, and whatever is helping me to bring my attention more towards myself than towards what's happening outside of myself is kind of like maybe what I'm looking for. What is this underlying richness?
Yeah, I'm going to take that for me. I think mine is a little bit different because I'm not self-conscious of necessarily about being observed by others or feeling like it's an external regard. It's more for me a feeling of serving others. And so I'm recognizing there's been a tension in my life since as long as I can remember between enjoying the world versus serving the world. And I've been very heavily on the serving side. So even if I'm going for a walk in the woods, it's instead of just enjoying the moment, like really, really loving this moss here. And I just want to feel the softness and remember how much my dad loved moss and savor this moment as my moment in the woods, as part of creation. There's another part of me that's saying, let me record this moment and present this moment to the world, because there might be five other people out there who haven't had a moment with Moss yet today and who would love a moment with Moss vicariously. And so it's this service to others focus that I have. So I don't want to judge myself for that necessarily, but I do think it's important for me to have a lot more balance in my life where I get to just be like, oh, this feels good. And this is just my blessing in my moment given for me. And if I were a cat walking through the woods, I would not be here trying to serve all the other cats on the planet. I would just be alert to my surroundings and enjoying it because I'm alive. And I do think there's a lot more of that that would be really helpful in my life, to just, I'm here because I'm here for the pure enjoyment, and life is short, and I'm just gonna have this moment right here with you, Eve, without getting distracted by all the other things, and enjoy this connection with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's like such a important and yet hard thing at the same time. Like when I listen to you, I definitely resonate so much with this desire of wanting to be helpful for others, and also of like sharing what I learn and what I find helpful for myself, because I also think it might be inspiring or helpful for others. So I definitely share that. And I think also with that, for me, it's like, for me in my life, it's so much about finding the balance, like not be on one of the edges, although we can be sometimes to experience it, or like also balance is not a static thing, but more like a dynamic that is moving. And sometimes we might need to be more on one part of the scale and sometimes more on the other side. But in general, just like allowing ourselves also to be not helpful sometimes is such a relief, like to not have the responsibility of constantly transforming what we have learned into something that we can then share with others so that they can learn from it. But like just learning it for the sake of us learning it, or just like being with it just for our own pleasure. And that can be so hard sometimes, I feel.
Well, what was cracking me up too is, as we were talking, I actually was having this really lovely, just like, I'm with you right now, Eve, and this is wonderful, and we're not having to serve anybody. And I'm like, wait a second, we're doing a podcast. We're doing the both and.
Yes.
So let's hope somebody came to this conversation about us being distracted and present and all the things in between, and that they took something helpful from it and maybe had a good laugh at us if they want to, or with us if they want to. But yeah, it's good to be alive with you, Eve.
It is, totally. And I think this conversation just mirrors how hard it can be to be present and be not distracted, uh-huh, and to find the balance in between being with yourself and being not helpful, but also like serving that desire of like wanting to share your own learnings. Like, I think this conversation is actually a perfect mirror of, yeah, the struggle in all of that, but also the little insights or the little spaces and containers that we can create for ourselves to navigate through that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing this topic and all this awareness. It was really helpful for me.
I agree. For me too. Awesome.
Thank you.